WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively, thankfully, finally into the football season. But this guy's going to want to talk baseball anyway. We're going to be at Fadley's on the 15th of the month, resuscitating the new Maryland Crab Cake Tour. It is our 25th anniversary. The cupcake out in front should tell you so. We're going to be down with the Coppin State president, Dr. Anthony Jenkins, as well as new basketball coach, Larry Stewart, who was my old friend and a former Bullet back in the day as well. That's the 15th. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with Window Nation and Jiffy Lube. It is football season. I love this man. He knows that. We're kicking the season off, not against the Aulers, but against the Texans. I'm sporting my Dan Pastorini throwback. Man, the internet, John McClain, the internet can be awful, as you know, being out on Twitter and being a public figure as you've been for about 45 years covering Houston sports as well as football there. But man, the internet's great when you can click a button and buy a Pastorini throwback and have it be delivered and smell good and be nice and fit you. So, you know, under $50. So life can still be good. John, how are you? I know you want to talk some football, but it's like baseball season in Houston and Baltimore, right?
Yeah, I'd rather talk baseball than football because our baseball team is good and our football team is bad. And by the way, fans in Houston are infuriated. Fans and media are infuriated that the Tennessee Titans are going to wear Oiler throwback jerseys against the Texans in Nashville the week before Christmas. And it is just fans and flames down here. They're doing it twice. They're doing it against the Falcons in October when they have their annual Oiler Titan reunion in Nashville. The owner, Amy Adams Strunk, treats all those former Oilers like kings, and they love her. And I wrote a column calling a lot of them, including Dan Pastorini, about what they think about their uniforms being worn for the first time since the Oilers moved to Tennessee. And with the Tennessee Oilers, their first 2 years before they became the Titans in 99, and they all love it. So I love it because I want to see those uniforms again, but boy, even my own radio station wants to run me out of town.
Well, I mean, I guess it is, you know, before we even get to baseball, because we talk about throwback Oriole jerseys, right? And John, you know, the Irsay family's not popular here, even 40 years later, right? And they still wear our colors, our jerseys, everybody. Jim Irsay was bragging it's a 40th anniversary of the Mayflowers arriving, right? Like, and I get along with Jim, and I like it's fine all these years later. But boy, it really pisses Dennis Colazzo, Sacoons, Baltimore, Florida. I mean, my Baltimore people, they really carry this incredible grudge for Irsay, and it's caught up every week, and every we play the Colts in week 3 this year, a couple weeks from now, right? We're going to see them parade around with Burt Jones, with Lytle Mitchell, or if you're old enough and could still be here, Art Donovan, John Unitas, and Lenny Moore. We deal with that all the time. It's really sensitive, I think, for fans.
It is, and people here, I try to tell them, the Texans have nothing to do with the Oilers. The Oilers belong to the Titans. Everything from the Oilers belongs to the Titans. Bud Adams had Paul Tagliabue, the commissioner, put it in writing that nobody could ever use the Oiler name or wear Oiler uniforms other than the Titans. And so there's no way. Bruce Matthews told me, yeah, we'd like to have this happen in Houston, but it's impossible. So having it happen with the Titans is better than not having it at all. So the players are fired up about it, but the fans and media are not, and it's great for the talk shows.
Well, it's the most beautiful jersey there's ever been, right? I mean, do you know? I mean, you're the most do you know? Of course, if you don't know, nobody knows. Why was it blue? What was it? Is Bud Adams was because it was so day-glow 60s, the silver helmets. Why did he have this sort of an outfit? Why were these colors popular and the Lance Allworth? The AFL was flair, right?
Bud was big on America. He was in World War II. He wanted red, white, and blue. But everybody had not everybody, but most had red, white, and blue. But they had your typical bright blue or navy blue. He wanted something different, so they called it Columbia blue. Now, later in life, Bud calling it Colombian blue. And one time when he got the Astrodome expanded, they had a news conference and he was talking about his new suites and he called them Colombian blue suites. And I said, do they come with cocaine? And he didn't know what I was talking about. And but that's what we always made jokes about when he said Colombian. And people here love the colors, and the longer they go without seeing them, the more the nostalgia effect takes hold, and the fans there love it. And but there were a couple of years, Nestor, where they didn't give a rat's, you know what, about having anything associated with the Oilers. But when the Oilers became the Titans in 99 and changed their uniforms, and Bud insisted still having some Columbia blue in their darker blue, which I thought it made it look ugly, but it's what Bud wanted. So now it's going to be a big deal this year. The only thing that would have been worse is if they'd worn them here in NRG Stadium, but that would never happen.
That's going to happen in Nashville. John McClain is here. He is the longtime scribe at the Houston Chronicle, the famous general who keeps telling me he's retired and this and that. So listen, I love you, and you host radio all over the country. You do all this stuff. I know you don't really want to talk about the Houston Texans. Oh, I can sit here and talk to you about the Oilers for hours.
I write five columns a week on the Texans. I do 3 40-minute podcasts on the Texans, and I do 6 radio appearances on the Texans, all on the Texans flagship station, Sports Radio 610. All my stuff's on sportsradio610.com, where there's no paywall. So I'm staying busy. I retired from the Chronicle. Mattress Mack called me last year, worked for him for 10 months. That was great. That's where I started writing about the Astros. So in my job for a radio station, I can write whatever I want. In fact, I'm writing a baseball column right now about the Red Hot Astros and the best division in baseball, the AL West, with Seattle, Houston, and Texas competing for the top spot wildcard berth.
So you love saying that, don't you? You've been an Astros fan for all of your life, since the Colt 45s. They've always sucked for the most part. They've been really good lately. And now you get to say best division in baseball, right? Like, that's a kick at the Yankees and a kick at the Red Sox. So I love it, John.
It's the best race in baseball because of the top three. You know, the A's shouldn't even be in baseball. They should be like the Premier League and be dropped down to the Pacific Coast League. And then the Angels, everything they did at the trade deadline is backfired. But the top three teams are separated by one game. The Astros have a 5-game winning streak. They play mostly losers the rest of the season, except when they play the Orioles, when they come in here for 3, and they go to the Rangers for 3. And then at the end of the season, their last road trip, they play 3 at Seattle, which could be the determining series.
Well, listen, I don't know where to go with you. We did the Oilers, and I could stay in there for hours. Believe me, I have lots of Oilers questions as I revisit my childhood now that the Ravens have thrown me out and I don't go to Ravens games. It's been fun wearing this. I'm not a Titans fan in any way. But that being said, the baseball side of you and what's happened to your city, right, in the time where the Texans have had all this Deshaun Watson stuff, and you're on the inside of the, you know, you're the go-to guy for Texans information and have been since before they were born. And then this baseball thing has taken over your city. And I was in Houston recently for Springsteen. I was there back in February for a couple of days. And it's like an Astros town, like in a big way. And it's happened relatively quickly. And I don't know that it shocks you in any way. But the Orioles and the Astros have never played a meaningful baseball game. Right. I mean, different leagues forever, different worlds forever. Maybe in 1979, 80, 81, during that era, there could have been a World Series that would have taken us down to the Astrodome. But none of that's ever happened. And now all of a sudden, as I look at it in Baltimore, I mean, the Orioles are really good, John, and the closer situation and Batista, just all of it. Gibson was no good. Flaherty's been no good. The kids are pitching well. Bradish and Grayson Rodriguez. I mean, on the field with the pipeline and all everything that Elias has done, the lease has clouded everything here. The kid's a creep. Like John Angelos he's the apple that hasn't fallen far from the orange tree. You know, the guy born at third base and thinks he hit a triple, all of that. And the Nashville rumors of taking the baseball team, all of this going on here and the backdrop, our baseball team's really good. And there might be, in my mind, if the Orioles are getting to the World Series, it's going through Houston. you know, at some point, maybe Seattle, maybe we'll have to get on the airplane and go places. But in October, nobody here has experienced anything like what they're about to experience, which is this pennant race. Are we going to have a bye? Are we not? Baseball is on the tip of everyone's tongue here. And it's I've owned this radio station 25 years. I've been in the air 32 years. I've never seen anything like it, because baseball, when it gets into the veins, it's 6 months every day, every night. It's different than football.
Well, the difference with the Orioles, they, of course, hired Mike Elias from the Astros. He brought people with him, and they followed the Astros blueprint where they were awful. And you always worry, is it going to come to fruition? Because some others have tried it, but obviously it's worked with Elias because he saw that blueprint in Houston. The Astros have been at least to American League Championship Series the last 6 years. They've been to four World Series. They've won two. They've got a chance to do it again, even though no team has repeated as champions since the Yankees in 2000. So I don't think they're going to the World Series. But the only thing that surprised me about Baltimore, with all that great young talent up and down the minor leagues, that they didn't trade for some pitching. And but, man, they're fun to watch. I told my wife about 3 years ago, because we have a place up there in West River, and she comes all the time because of the weather. And any place you recommend, she goes, like the Boathouse in Annapolis, which she loves.
Great
and
spot.
I told her 3 years ago, if everything goes according to Mike Elias's plan, about the time I retire, the Orioles should be good and fun to watch. I still think Camden Yards is my best favorite baseball park, even over Minute Maid Park, all of them patterned after Camden. Retro parks downtown. I love to go there. I look at the attendance. I read every box score every night and look at the attendance. I'm stunned, as good as the Orioles are, that they don't draw more fans. You may consider it good compared to where they used to be, but that ball club is so much fun to watch, and watching all that great talent grow. The Astros play three games against the Orioles here. That should be, along with Seattle and Texas, their three toughest series as we get into the dog days of September. And I can't wait. Love baseball pennant races. Adding the extra wild card team has been a great move. It helped the Phillies get to the World Series where they lost to the Astros. And, Nestor, I love the new rules. I think baseball is finally awakened and realized that the NFL and NBA were way ahead of it. But right now, baseball is as exciting as I can remember it.
Well, John McClain here, longtime Houston Chronicle. You can now find him at 610 in Houston. You can find him anywhere. McClain on NFL. Off of baseball, and I promise I'll come back to it, because I'm going to do a media thing about covering sports and all the years of you covering sports and me, quite frankly, getting thrown out and writing about it this week. So anybody wants to read, I'm tired of people asking me about it. I'm going to write a letter to Steve Bisciotti, a letter to Eric DaCosta, a letter to John Harbaugh, a letter to Sashi Brown, eventually a letter to Chad Steele, outlining what my life's been like the last year. But the football side of this, I mean, you think of me as an insider. You and I've exchanged what's going on here, what's going on there. I haven't been around the team. I've been thrown out by force for, you know, a year and a half for the most part. I watch it from the outside now, and I see Odell Beckham coming here. I see Zay Flowers get drafted. I see what DaCosta does on the defensive side, and Roquan Smith, and attaining him, maybe overpaying him a little bit. Now Humphrey's hurt. Ronnie Stanley's always a little bit of a question mark because of his health. But the Ravens, from your seat, from McClain on NFL, Sirius, all the things that you do around the country, the Ravens look kind of loaded from the outside, don't they?
They do. It's McClain _on_NFL. And you come close. I'm the best. They play in the best division in football. I cannot pick the Steelers last. But I'm picking, I'm going to be different from other people. I'm picking the Ravens to win it over the Bengals. Everybody else is picking the Bengals. I don't really know why. Other than John Harbaugh's a great coach, they got a great organization. And Lamar Jackson, to me, has got a lot to prove. He's had a great regular season record. He's crushed the Texans up there twice when the Texans were winning the division. And I think the Ravens will pulverize, clobber the Texans in this first game. Why the spread is only 9.5 points, it amazes me. because if I were a gambling type, I would take the Ravens. But I think Baltimore is good. I think the division is great. The best record may not come from that division. They may beat up on each other. I don't think the AFC West is anything special. And I think Kansas City probably will get home field advantage, while the AFC North and the AFC East beat each other up top to bottom. And, of course, the AFC South is going to be terrible again, like the NFC South. And those divisions, the AFC North and the AFC East, are going to be so much fun to watch week in and week out, because every team is capable of beating anybody in that division.
John McClain is our guest. He is in Houston in the old days. John, I would just call you and we would do, you know, 18 minutes of Texans this and CJ Stroud that and how we're doing and like all of that. I think everybody knows they're sort of beaten up. If you were to give me a 2-minute preview on what Ravens fans can expect from the Texans, other than they better beat the Texans this week.
People here love D'Amico Ryans. You know, he, besides being a great player here, his wife's from here. He got married here, and his kids here, built a home for wayward kids during the pandemic, and was building his dream home, not knowing it, where he was ever going to be a head coach. So people here love D'Amico. He wanted to come. But they're still in the process of rebuilding for a third year in a row. You know, fans in Baltimore can certainly understand that because of the Orioles. And that's what they're going through here. C.J. Stroud has been really good, and he's been really bad, like any rookie quarterback. And he's got an offensive line missing three starters, and they're signing and trading for people to plug in. That offensive line, which is always an issue, is going to be ugly. They got a really good running game led by Damian Pierce. Their defense led by Will Anderson Jr., who could be the NFL Defensive Rookie of the Year. It's better, but it needs more playmakers. They don't have a lot of playmakers.
No chance of beating the Ravens.
No chance whatsoever.
There you go. All right. So we can just get on. Let me ask you this, and I don't mean it flippantly, because I follow you on Twitter. You crush the Texans when they stink, and they have stunk a whole lot more than the Ravens have ever stunk in recent years to be getting lottery picks. The situation here with Ray Rice, as hideous as it was, as bad as it was, the Deshaun Watson thing there. I mean, Ray Rice was on the M&T Bank credit cards, his face. He was on the billboards here. But Deshaun Watson was the face of the franchise. And everything that's happened there, why don't the Texans throw you out when you call them garbage on their garbage? Because there's been a lot of trash for you to take out in Houston in the last 5 years for that franchise, literally, right?
Last year, when I retired from the Houston Chronicle, my plan was to retire, stay on my radio shows for one more year, and then Mattress Mack called me, made me a great offer to start a website called Gallery Sports, and it was fun for 10 months until he pull the plug because he was losing money. But so I kept writing columns, got to write about the Astros, not just football, Rockets, anything I wanted. So I was honored. I was stunned, but I got honored a lot. And one of the honors was the Texans have, if you get off the elevator here, you see this big wall, the John McClain Wall of Honor. And I'm the first person on it. And during when they were the owners and the president, and when they unveiled it for me in the media, they made a lot of cracks about my coverage and my negativity. But, you know, they're class people. They would never do anything like that. There's been a lot of people here that were just negative. But, hey, they know when they're bad. They know when they're good. It amazes me, an organization has been as successful as the Ravens have been under Brian Billick and John Harbaugh, that there's anything negative surrounding the organization, and the Orioles for that matter too, because baseball fans should be so fired up about the Orioles. There should be no negativity. And then you make a brain dead decision, just quote unquote, suspend a radio guy because you didn't like him reading some stats. And it's just amazing. Sometimes people can't get out of their own way and enjoy the positivity and all their hard work paying off and winning. And I feel bad for people that can't enjoy it and people have to suffer.
John, your press, it's in the press box up the elevator when you get off there.
First thing you see.
Yeah, see, if the game were in Houston this week, and this is amazing, if the game were in Houston this week, I wouldn't be allowed to take that elevator up where I've done it for two Super Bowls, for 10 games in Houston over the years, to even see your area.
Now,
because
why
Chad
would you not
Steele,
be the
Chad
Texans
Steele
would.
would email the Houston Texans PR person and tell him to not let me in, because he
Now, I
did
don't
that
think that
last
would
year in
happen.
Cincinnati.
And they didn't do it.
The National Football League took my press credential. I was not allowed to come to Radio Row. But if Luke were to fly to Houston, Luke would be allowed in, but not me. So I don't know how to process that. You'll say why, and then I'll say why, and I'm going to ask the organization why. But that's heartbreaking to me that I'm never going to see your wall in Houston. The last time I saw you on that wall, there was you and me and about eight people there, masked, and 38 people in the whole building, on the top of that building in the middle of a hurricane watching. And I flew home that morning and I thought, I love the NFL, I love football, but I hope to never watch a game alone like that. That was the most morbid game of my of 39 years of doing sports, was covering the plague game in Houston that day.
Yeah, that was depressing. Tell you what I'll do, Nestor. I'll take a picture of it. Yeah, well, next time I'm over there for practice, and I'll send it to you.
I'll superimpose myself in
front
of it.
It's a very cool thing, let me tell you.
John, you said something sort of flippantly about if you were a guy that gambled on games. I can't think of anything that would have had them take my press pass more quickly than if I started shaving points and asking Joe Flacco how his shoulder felt to figure out whether I was going to take the three or give the three this week against, you know, the Steelers back in 2013. How quickly the gambling part of this on the baseball and the football side. My son was here, and I pitched the lottery. I talk about sports wagering. I'll be up at Hollywood Casino. My friends at Greenmount Station have a license up in Carroll County. Like, I'm not against gambling or sports gambling, but it was the most verboten. Like, it would have been like Pete Rose for you and I to be shaving points in the locker room. It would have been the end of our careers at any point during our career.
Absolutely, it would have. If you even asked about gambling in a locker room, and they told the NFL would investigate you. But now their estimations, the NFL is going to make $100 billion over the next 10 years from gambling. That's the reason they're playing the games in Europe, going to Germany, because Europe is way ahead of us on gambling and sports. And so the idea is to play as many games over there as possible to get Europeans fired up about gambling on our football instead of their football. And so it's all about the money, as always.
Well, it's a lot more fun to gamble on our football than gambling on a soccer game where the score's 2-1, right? Like, the proposition betting on baseball, my son came the other night. My son, I don't know if my son bets on much, you know, play a little blackjack or whatever. He's now like, well, I want to watch the games, Dad. And it's, you know, just – and I had a friend hit a parlay on a home run with – Mountcastle and Henderson are both going to home run the same hit, and they won $800. It's sort of like I've never met anyone that gambled on baseball ever in my life. I've been on the radio 32 years in a baseball city. I've never met anybody with a gambling problem with baseball.
I still do a video once a week with Masters Mac, and we talk about Houston sports and put it on our social media platforms. Of course, he's the country's most renowned gambler. And, you know, he won $75 million on the Astros last year. And he bets primarily football, because he said that's what gambling's all about, is football. But some baseball, too. And, of course, he has all these promotions at Gallery Furniture about this year, if the Astros win the World Series and you spent four grand, you get back triple your money. Well, the Astros, I don't think, are going to win the World Series. So everything people spend was pure profit.
I need a mattress right now. Maybe I need to talk to you and Mattress Mac. I left my pillow in Ocean City. John McClain here, McClain _ on sports. Find him out on Twitter. Find him at 610, the Houston legend. And last thing for you, just back to baseball, because baseball is like are you in the locker room? Do you report on it in that way, or are you watching it by the way I am, outside the locker room?
I watch every game on TV. I don't want to be in a press box. I'll be talking to people. When I don't cover Texans games on the road anymore, I do not want to travel if I don't have to. And I've learned, sitting in front of my TV where it's quiet and I listen and I take notes, I can do so much better than I've had a game. And I cover the home games, and I got people talking to them and all that. I'm amazed at how much better I can do like that. I went to Astro Spring Training, had a blast over there writing about them. I've always wanted to do that as a member of the media. But right now, I just write columns, seldom use quotes, especially on baseball, because baseball's so much about statistics and they change daily. And I'm having a blast. And by the way, it's McLean_on_NFL. Nestor, thank you very much as always.
They're going to find you, of course. Can the Orioles win the World Series with this?
Of course, with that young talent, you don't know how they're going to do in the pressure of a pennant race with players who've never been in it. That's what a lot of fans here are counting on the Astros, that when they get down to it, that they've been through this so much, it'll be just second nature. But, boy, a young upstart team like that is going to be so much fun to watch for the first time in the playoffs.
Listen, you take care of yourself and get yourself up here to Maryland for some playoff baseball at some point. John McLean, the man, the myth, the legend, Houston to Tennessee, and at some point, Southern Maryland. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking baseball, football, and Baltimore Positive. Stay with us.